and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this great lesson found in Numbers chapter 16 to help us. But Lord, there's more to it. And God, I pray that you'd help us on seeing all that you have for us in this passage. God, I pray that you'd help us to draw closer to thee. Lord, that you would help us to be what you've created us to be. Servants, to worship and honor and glorify you. Lord, help us to fulfill that. Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for our Sunday school teachers this morning and the unique circumstances in which they have to teach today. And Lord, thank you for their tender heart and love for children. Thank you for our nursery workers this morning. And thank you for our bus workers today. And God, thank you for our ushers and those that clean the facilities this weekend. And God, thank you for all those that make this moment right here, right now, work. Lord, I ask you bless them. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to your word here this morning. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. At initial face value, we read Numbers chapter 16 and we think, oh, this is good. Now Korah, and here Korah being a child of Levi. Levi were known for their priesthood. And they rose up, the Bible says, before Moses. Good. It's good to see men wanting to do something, right? We just came from a men's retreat and a lot of testosterone flowing around this past weekend. The Bible says that they were famous in the congregation, men of renown. And you know what? There were not only these number of men, but they get 250 men together with them. And the Bible says, and they did this, they went against Moses and against Aaron. They had a thought, they said, hey, you know what? There's more people that are holy in this congregation. We too are the sons of Levi, and we have a right to the blessings that you got in on. So cut us a piece, is pretty much what they're saying. That word, and they gathered themselves together against Moses. There's some things you don't want to do. Going against God's man is one of them. Say, oh, your pastoral authority. No, that's not what I'm talking about here this morning. And you'll see by the end of the passage. I'm just saying, when God puts something there, you're not going to want to go against that. God's got a plan. Well, you know what? I think people would be a little more open to this way. Yeah, but that's not what God says. So we're just going to do it. We're just going to use Aaron and the sons of Aaron as high priests, and we're just going to keep it like that. Hey, there's some holy people in the nation of Israel that would think they have a shot at what you're doing up there. And Moses is like, I don't think so. I got 250 signatures back here that say you're wrong. Moses kind of raises his hands and says, well, by your words. And here we have three names that are going to become ingrained in our mind. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three men challenge the ways of God. Hey, let me help you with something. When you go against the ways of God, you lose. They weren't going against Moses. It says Moses, but they weren't going against Moses. They weren't going against Aaron. They were going against God himself. And we'll see who fights this battle. Jump down to verse 20. For sake of time, this is actually our introduction. Numbers chapter 16, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Hey, God, what do you think about these guys that are saying this? Do you want Aaron to take a step aside and use the sons of Korah instead? God says, Moses, I would like you to stand back, please, because I'm going to consume them in a moment. Oh, all right, okay. I understand what you're saying. And they fell upon their faces and said, oh, God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and Wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? He says, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses is like, hold on, are you sure? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. He says, you're not going to want to be anywhere close to where these individuals are. Why is that? Because I'm going to consume them in a moment. It's going to be very clear. There's no gray area with this. You're either with Aaron or you're with Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Let's see what happens. Verse 25, and Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of the Israel followed him. He says, I have something I'd like to say. I don't think you know what you're doing. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Say, what does that mean? The earth opened up. Say, how did Moses do that? Moses didn't do that. God did that. Remember, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram weren't going against Moses. They weren't going against Aaron. They were going against God. And God said, oh, I'm going to make this right now. I got no time for this, he says. See, did he say that? Pretty much. There was no time. Moses goes and says, hey, you guys want to reconsider? Are you sure? I don't think this is what you meant. He's trying to play the Holy Spirit like the tender, loving mother, right? No. That's not what they meant. They weren't the grandmother. How about that? My parents are awfully forgiving of my children and their intentions. No, they did not mean that, you know. That's what Moses is saying. And God says, I know exactly what they meant. In verse 32, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Gone. And their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. Tell me their three names. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What do we know about them? They went against Moses. Are we getting a little ringing? Can we turn it down a little? You good, Rice? Can you hear it? All right, good. He says crank it up. Do you know Brother Rice was deaf for 3 months? Do you know that? 3 months of his life he was deaf. He had no hearing. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What do we know about them? They went against Moses and Aaron. How'd it go? Kiana, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say? How well did that go? 10 being great, they are now the high priest. 0 being the earth opens up and swallows them whole. 0. That's exactly what happened. God says no. And all that they had were swallowed up. Say, is that the message this morning? Don't go against God's man. That is not the message this morning. Look at verse 40. Numbers chapter 16, verse 40, it says, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before. He says, so this doesn't happen again. Let's make a memorial. So anybody that comes in and says, hey, what's that thing all about? Oh, let me tell you about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They went against Aaron, the high priest, one day. Say, how'd that go? Not good at all. We were standing here, and the old earth actually opened up and swallowed them and their houses and 250 other people, and then it closed back up right before our eyes. Coincidence? I think not. It was God's judgment on them. He says, we're going to make an altar here, or a memorial here, that reminds us about these individuals. That he be not as Korah. There's a name that you don't see too often in our Bibles. No one gets named after Korah. Why? Because his name was synonymous with rebellion. Go to Numbers chapter 26. Our three names are Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. When I hear those names, I want to think, well, what does God want me to think? Numbers chapter 26, approximately 10 chapters later, in Numbers chapter 26, the Bible says, now the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, he had two sons. Their names were Dathan and Abiram. Wait a second, I've heard of them before. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation. For what? Who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. See, they weren't going against Moses and Aaron. They were going against God. What happened? Well, verse 10 tells us, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. We just read about that in Numbers chapter 16. 10 chapters later, their name gets brought up again, and God makes it very clear, these are the same guys that went against. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. In verse 6. And what he did unto, look at these two names, Dathan and, who's his brother? Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth. These poor two guys, all that they're known for is going against Moses and Aaron. And the fateful end of the earth opening up and swallowing them whole. Anytime you see their name, we don't know what their house looked like. We don't know the good things that they did. We don't know how tall they were. We don't know anything about them other than what they did against the Lord. Go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 16. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. How did that go? The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. Where do we read about that? Oh, yeah, Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Psalm 106. Jude chapter 1 this morning. Jude chapter 1. From cover to cover, what we know about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram was they went against God. Is that all they did? No, that's not all they did. But that's what they were. Listen now, this is important. That's what they were known for. Jude chapter 1 and verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Say, who's that? That's Korah. And Jude were brought up his name, and it tells us and it reminds us again about the memorial. It reminds us again about how they went against Moses and against Aaron. And that's all we know about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And in reading through my Old Testament, my heart broke for these guys. Say, why? They went against God. Yeah, they went against God. It was a sin, it was wrong, and they got righteous judgment. But I asked myself the question, what am I going to be known for? Is that all they did? They only did one event? No, but that's what God wanted us to know about them. And anytime we see those names, it is synonymous with rebellion. It is synonymous with going against God's man and God judging them. So what are you going to be known for? when your life is all over, what will you be known for? There's a lot of good things that we could be known for. We're sitting around the table, I think it was yesterday, and Brother Rice was telling us about this expert marksman, right? Wasn't that the Russian sniper? Missing half his face. Was he Russian? Finnish. Missing half his face. Used a Russian rifle, though, right? Something like that. And Pastor Matt Swykowski had that, not that rifle, but a rifle of the same model. That's what brought all the conversation. Man, was effective, may I say, with the sniper rifle. That's what he was known for. What are you going to be known for? I'm going to say two words. Scott Norwood. What? He was a good guy. I mean, he owns a nice Chinese buffet now and all that kind of stuff. No, what do we know about him? In the Super Bowl, he kicked it and he was wide right. Wide right. Bills would have won. How many did he make? Doesn't matter how many he made. It's the one he missed. Let me ask you, what are you going to be known for? There's a lot of things we could be known for. How about being faithful? Faithful to God. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 this morning, in verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. If we take the word faithful apart, it looks like full of faith. Believing. Believing what? God is who He says He is, and His way is the right way. We learned with Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and we're going to move off that, their thought, but the idea that I'm trying to draw from them is anytime I see their name, this is what's mentioned. And I want you to consider your life. And 1,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, what is your name going to mean? Is it going to be synonymous with faithfulness? Verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Did you believe God? Were you a Christian? Not spiritual. There's a lot of spiritual people. But were you full of faith? Did you truly believe what God said about this? Do you know the Bible says that if you trust Jesus Christ, that He's going to write your name in a book that's going to last for eternity? That has some longevity. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you're not found written in that book, you'll find yourself at the second death, the Bible says. You know, Abraham was known for what? He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Galatians chapter 3. Can I ask you here this morning, do you believe God? Are you a Christian? Do you trust Him? Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's look at some of these verses. Are you faithful to God? Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Hey, what are you going to be known for? Are you going to be one to be known for your faithfulness to God to the very end? Hey, I don't know what is down the road. I don't know. Say, what's going to happen to the church? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It might get difficult being a Christian. I don't know. I have no idea. And if you think you know, let me help you. You don't know. Who does know? God knows. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be faithful till the end. See, that may cause you losing your head. So be it. So let it be done. So you would lose your head for the Lord? Absolutely. Blessed is the man that... Let's not go dark here. Let's keep it positive. Let's just believe the Lord and trust the Lord. Whether it was good times, I was talking to a pastor this past weekend, or maybe it was one of our men. Maybe a future pastor, I didn't even know. All right, very good. We were talking about being a Christian. Oh, yeah, being a Christian in the 80s, a pastor in the 80s. No offense to the pastors in the 80s, but I feel like a monkey could have run the church. I mean, God was doing a great thing and a revival and bringing about wonderful things. And all of a sudden, the pastors from the 80s are like, wow, this is a little bit harder now in the 2000s. And God was working behind the scenes, and you don't realize that. So in the good times and in the difficult times, you know what we need to be? Know what we need to be remembered for? The generation that was faithful to God, and that just trusted Him and believed Him. Hey, if there was another church written in Revelation chapter 4, and it was the church of Walker, what would be said of us? What would we be known for? Oh, we know about the church of Philadelphia, and we know about the church of Ephesus, and Laodicea, and all of those things. What would be said of us? What would be said of you? Would the word faithful be said? For the Bible says in verse 8, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and she shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Hey, even in the difficult times, we ought to bring fruit. Even when it gets dry, we trust God and we're faithful. Proverbs chapter 3, familiar passage. Proverbs chapter 3. In no way am I trying to take away from the pastors of the 80s. I hope you don't. I'm just saying it was maybe a little easier to church back in the 80s. Late 70s, early 80s. God was doing a work in the middle class and drawing hardworking men to Him that needed to take a step of faith, and they quit their jobs and just said, "God, however, wherever, whenever," and God used that and multiplied the church. I'm not diminishing anything that they did. They still walk by faith, and God blessed that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Are you trusting the Lord? Will you be faithful in believing and trusting God? Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee," it says. Will you be known for your faithfulness to the Lord? How about this? Will you be known for your faithfulness to the church? Weather forecast with snow. I think we're going to stay in today. Hey, your attendance means something. The Bible warns us or reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, so much the more as you see the day approaching, you're part of the family. This Thursday, how many of you are getting together with family? The camera's this way. Don't worry about it. You're all right. You're allowed. Don't worry. I'm getting together with family. We're seven in ourselves, so you pretty much add a dog, a fish, and a cat, and we're at our max. 10. All right, we're good. Brother Odell's got to get a trailer or something. I don't know what he needs. I don't know. We're getting together with family. How have you... Man, it would be... My brother's not coming to Thanksgiving, right? And you know what? Part of the family's gone. Man, that's tough. I love seeing my brother. We don't, you know, he lives in town here, but he's going to be out of town. I'm going to miss him. Getting together for a holiday and part of the family's gone. That's how it feels on Sunday. Part of the family's missing. What do you want to be known for? I want to be known to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to my church. I'm part of something bigger than me. You promote church. Say, well, we can't really right now. You know, the times are we're not really allowed to invite people. You are allowed. Listen, if you're watching online, come to church. Now, if you can't, I understand that. But you're allowed to invite people to come to church. This is our hope right here, this place. Well, the Word of God is our hope. And the Word of God is preached here. You understand? You don't. The church building is not our sanctuary. Wait a second. Yes, it is. Okay. You understand what I'm saying now? Yeah, yeah. Can we edit that? Can we fix that? You're allowed to invite people to church. You're allowed to promote your church. Amen. Say, why is that? Because we go to the greatest church in the world. I don't know. I do. They asked me, there was a survey. This is the greatest church in Walker. By far. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But there's no place I'd rather be. And you're part of that family. Not only promote it, could you defend it? Sometimes people will speak against it. We don't need guys at the four corners of the building with guns. But we do need someone to verbally stand up for it. Heard a pastor this past week, and he said this. He said, sometimes people talk against the pastor or against the church. And his response was always, hey, I hear what you're saying. Let's go bring that right to the pastor right now. Oh, no, never mind. Forget it. I'm out. Then don't talk. Some of the times in which we're living are difficult times, and I understand that. And I'm praying and talking to, hold on, there's a fly up here. I'm praying and seeking the Lord about things and trying to do the best that I think that God would have us to do. And if you disagree or whatever, you come right to me. It does not help the church to talk against what is being done with one another. Say, does that stuff go on? Maybe it does. And if it does, if you're guilty of doing that, you don't need to send me a card. You don't need to. Just stop doing that. Defend your church. This is your church home. You're wanted here, needed here. Galatians chapter 6. Are you faithful to the church? Brethren, if man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, defend the church. Help one another. Be attentive to the needs of the church, and help where you can. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to one another. Be loyal. Isn't that a great word? Loyal. Be committed. In your homes, to your families, to your friends. Again, brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness. Be a help. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful to one another. Point number two. Say, point number two, do you see what I understand? We're quick. I was trying to think what... What would you want to be known for? We were talking to our teenage boys this past weekend a little bit about understanding that we have a number of years to establish how all of eternity is going to go. How many days do I get? You don't know. Any time that you can invest in eternity will be time well spent. So I trust God. I believe God. I invest in the church house. I invest in others. Which brings us to our second point. Number two, being a giver. What do you want to be known for? So you're always going to ask for money. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Man, Pastor, church attendance first, now talking about money. Galatians 2 says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, how about we give our life to God? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How about, what do you want to be known for? I want to be known for the guy that went against Moses and the earth opened up and swallowed him whole. I want to be known for being faithful. A giver of my life to God. To give whatever resources that the Lord has entrusted with me and to give them cheerfully to be used for His honor and glory. If that's my life, it's my talent, if it's my time, you know what? God loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 that He is entitled to the first fruits of our life. The things that we have. I understand the tithes. I'm not saying it because I don't even know if they're low or high. I don't know. I was just trying to think, what would I want to be known for? When it's all said and done, I want it to be known that I was faithful. Number two, do you want to be known for being a giver? Number three, compassionate. What does that mean? That means loving, caring, kind, friendly. Remember when the Lord went up and he was trying to get alone, he turns around and there's all those people. And the Lord says, and he looked on the multitude and had compassion. Why? Because of the number? No. Listen, this is the key to compassionate. It was because of their need. A loving person recognizes the needs of others and does what they can to fulfill those needs. Remember in our Sunday school, we were talking about the five truths of God. God loves people, and God wants to redeem people. And if I think about that, and if I love people, then you know what? I'm going to try and help get people to Christ. That's a compassionate individual. Are you loving? Are you caring? Are you kind? Are you friendly? Remember Mrs. Lauk? Just compassionate. Who can make the birds to fly? Right? What'd she do? She just loved on people. You couldn't get in these doors without being introduced to Mrs. Lauk. When I say her name, what do you think about? Loving. When I say Cora, when I say your name, what will you be known for? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, our last point. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. First Corinthians 9:19 says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without the law." Verse 22. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Verse 23. "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And above all these things, charity. That's very important. And right here, what do we see? The importance of being a soul winner. Soul conscious. Aware that there are souls around you that are without Christ. And Paul says, I went to the furthest degree. I went to the weak, I became weak. To those that were under the law, I understood the law and I brought them that. Even those that were without the law, I actually brought the law to them that they could understand the law of Christ. And I did all this for the gospel's sake. Why are we spending thousands of dollars? Say thousands of dollars? It might be thousands of dollars on lights here. I'll tell you why. Because at the end, we get to give someone the gospel. Are you concerned for the lost? What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? What's the value? That's a bit much. Really? Really? A soul winner. Are you concerned for the lost? Are you wise in the Scriptures? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What do you want to be known for? I think Mr. Parrott's dad. Remember Mr. Parrott's dad? Man put more money into gospel tracts than I've ever heard. He would tell everybody. How old was your dad when he passed away? He was old. No offense to our 90-year-olds. Or that are almost 90. But that man carried tracts everywhere. Know what I remember about him? How long has he been gone? Do you remember? Mrs. Parrott might know better. It's got to be at least 10 to 15 years. What do we know about him? He was a soul winner. What's going to be said of you? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I'm sure they did a lot of things. Maybe they even did some good things. But what is remembered of them? Hey, you can do a lot of good things, but what's going to be remembered of you? Did you trust Christ? Were you faithful to God? Were you a giver of your life to the Lord? Were you compassionate, loving? Being loving is not a moment. It wasn't one time Mrs. Lauk sang a song with kids. It was day after day after day, inviting neighborhood kids to their house and feeding them, I don't even know how to say the foods. It was who she was. It wasn't one moment Mr. Parrott's dad took out a gospel tract and said, hey, can I give you something to read? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? These gospel tracts are excellent. God is holy, God is just, God is love. And then it goes through and it tells us, you must repent, you must believe, you must ask. These are excellent. Are you a soul winner? Do you have any concern for the lost? What's going to be said of you? What will you be known for? Let's all stand. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Eight times their names are made mention in the Scriptures. Nine different passages. What will be said of you? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the most important thing that you could do is ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. But then after that, what will you be known for? In a moment, we're going to have the music play. Maybe you took some evaluation in your own life and say, if I were to end it today, I don't think I'd be happy with what would be said of me. I'd like to change my name. That's not a moment. It's a complete lifestyle change. Setting up things for eternity. No one looking around here this morning. Heads bowed. I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know for sure? 100% for sure. If you know for sure, would you raise your hand? No one looking around, just so I can pray for you. All right? Thank you. Say, Pastor, I'm not for sure. I don't know for sure. I think so, but I'm not sure. Would you just pray for me? Is there anybody like that here this morning? I'm not sure. All right. Our second question, Lord, or Pastor, would you pray for me? That message touched my heart. If my life were to end today, I'm not sure I'm really happy with what I would be known for. Anybody like that here today? All right. Appreciate your honesty. In a moment, the music's going to play. And by your uplifted hand, the Lord has touched your heart about something. Would you use the time to come to the altar and talk to Him and allow Him to talk to you? Lord, I want to be known that I was faithful to you. I was a giver, that I truly was compassionate, loving. I had a care for souls. Everywhere I went, I was telling somebody. Lord, help me with that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to open up your word. And Lord, I pray for the things that you spoke to our hearts about. Lord, I pray as these come and do business with you, Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?